It's a good show.
In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, this is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen. Hey everybody, this is Never Seen It. I'm your host, Kyle Ayers. This is the podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read their scripts here in studio. Today we are joined by Brendan Walsh. Brendan, thank you for being here.
Hey!
And also joined in studio to hang out with us is Dave Ross once again. Dave.
Hello.
Brendan, you have never seen The Sting.
No.
Robert Redford, what is this movie from, like the 60s?
70s. I did look it up to get to look at the poster.
Yeah.
To get some inspiration.
Yeah, definitely.
It was Best Picture 1973.
Okay.
Because that's how I came. I just went through all the best pictures. And yeah, it's a little old. I guess it's, you know, probably nobody, obviously nobody in this room has seen it.
I saw it.
Oh, you saw this?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's a Robert Redford, Paul Newman movie, right?
Yeah, those guys were like the Matt Damon and Ben Affleck of the late 60s or
right.
70s, right? Because they did like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
And then they had a few other ones that were less known. But yeah, I've seen this thing. It's great. Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Like, but I don't think everyone has... Listening to this podcast, will have seen it.
That's well. We got some like real big movie buff people though, so I feel like they'll be into it.
Yeah.
What's like your best picture average? Like, how many of these ones that have won best picture you think you've seen
in history? Well, you know, back to
and how many? Times?
I mean, even like you prepared this, right?
I've only seen The English Patient. Do you keep up with it still at all?
Like, is it something where if something wins best picture, it'll throw itself into your radar?
That's not going to make me want to see something any more or less than before it won best picture. Like, I haven't seen, what was that Casey Affleck movie?
Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, did that win Best Picture? Maybe not.
No, but I remember thinking I was like, I don't need this. Like, nothing about, I didn't see it, but I was just like, I don't need to see this.
Yeah, I might, you know, yeah.
Yeah, when the poster is like two people who are 27 looking at the sea.
Just brooding at the cold. Like, I just had enough movies where people are brooding where the ocean's cold.
I'm sure it's fine, but like, you know, the fact that it was like nominated for a bunch of stuff,
Doesn't matter.
Maybe I should see that.
Yeah.
But I did, because the way I decided on The Sting was last night, I just looked at Wikipedia, all the best picture winners, and I had seen a pretty good portion of them.
Man, hearing you say this, I wish you had done Crash. I feel like someone trying to write Crash.
Aren't there
on
two
this
movies
show.
Called Crash?
I think there.
One's Crash Bandicoot.
Was there a Crash Bandicoot?
No,
movie?
I doubt it. I mean, maybe, but maybe not. I think it's just a PlayStation game
starring Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
Ben Affleck as Crash and Matt Damon as Bandicoot. Crash is like
it's like the worst movie of all time.
Culture thing, where people make fun of it.
Yeah. Is that and that's like a racial? That's about race, right?
Yeah, but also it was like the first major, like the first mainstream movie, if I'm correct, that like
ever
had a bunch of
race.
Different storylines that didn't interconnect until the very end. It was like, you know what I mean? That style
didn't,
of movie
like,
where
Robert
like
Altman do that a bunch though,
like all the storylines. Wrecked into each other,
I think
was the tagline.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But I think there is another movie that came out called Crash where it's like James Spader.
I think you're right. Yeah.
And they like to fucking cars and crash them into the
Yeah, it is. Oh, wow. 1996. Crash is about the strange lore of the auto collision, provoking, as it does, the human fascination with death and the tendency to eroticize danger. Most motorists will slow down and stare at the scene of a collision. They may feel their pulses. What is this description?
But what? So that movie came out. When did that come out? 96?
96, yeah.
And then when did the other one come out?
Like 2005 or 2004 or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that recent? Oh, for some reason, that feels older.
Yeah, 2004.
Wow.
I guess that's
that
14
does...
years ago.
Oh, I thought it was older.
But this is, I mean, I know this is so bizarre, but the description for the other Crash, the one that won Best Picture, says, interweaves several connected stories about race, class, family, and gender in post-9/11 Los Angeles.
Well, that's the best Los Angeles.
You remember the defining moment of the city of Los Angeles? Yeah, they
bullied. It was way worse in New York, but it was better here. Yeah.
Yeah, because they had more taller buildings here now.
Yeah, and more race.
Post 9/11 sex is the best.
Post 9/11, yeah. Pretty much all of mine's been post 9/11. Not because of, but.
Almost all of mine has been post 9/11 sex.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, I had a little bit of pre 9/11 sex.
Oh, how was that?
I mean, you know, I wasn't thinking about 9/11, so.
it's harder to get hard.
That's the only way. Yeah. That's the only way I can get it up.
Way softer. What are we?
What are we doing? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, before we get into your script here, we're gonna tease a game called "Guess What Movie Trailer Kyle's Dad Is Describing," having had only watched the trailer, never having heard of the movie.
This is the best.
So we're just gonna give you a few seconds of it, and then we're gonna get back to it at the end of the episode.
Okay, so he's riding on the train.
All right, that's all we're gonna do for now, though.
I know what it is.
Do you want to give it a guess?
What's that Taken guy, the train movie that the Taken guy
Liam
did?
Neeson?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not that one, but I know what you're talking about.
Train one, right.
We kind of, there was kind of a whole time where it was just Taken, but different, like Liam Neeson movies popping up.
It also
the train
be,
one's not that long ago.
So many people ride a train in a trailer, right? Hmm. It's like a... I feel like it establishes that a movie's like hopeful,
or like someone's
they're on their way somewhere,
yeah,
like a journey.
I thought of the Pursuit of Happiness. That's what popped into my head. That Will Smith movie about becoming an adult intern.
He's on the bus.
He's on the bus.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You should feel pretty stupid right now, Dave. You thought he was on a train?
Well, yeah, I was in pre 9/11 brain, so I wasn't thinking straight. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he was on three different planes.
He was on a box cutter.
Train to Busan, is that what it's called? That's a good movie.
Yeah?
Train I've never to Busan, heard of it. I think. It's a horror, it's like a Korean horror movie.
Oh, okay.
Does it all take place on a train?
And it's like, I guess people just start turning into zombies on the train. It's good, though. Yeah. There's no way to really sell it. Like, well, because number one, like, it's done really well. Like, I love horror movies, and it's just really good. And I've like... You know, once you hear the word zombie, I'm like, there's enough of that already.
Yeah,
like, I don't.
Right.
But this is, it's good. I watched it not that long ago.
It's nice when you can.
Is it Snowpiercer?
It's not.
Never saw that.
Trains are good at bottling
really good.
Stuff up.
I didn't think it would be, but
it is one of those movies where when you describe it, sort of like describing it's a bunch of zombies on a train.
Yes.
Doesn't make.
Do you know what the movie is? Snowpiercer.
No, but that does. That's a polarizing movie because I've heard people hate it or.
Yeah,
like I feel like a lot of people hate it.
Well, it's literally about the world ends. There's a nuclear apocalypse, and the only thing left is a train that runs on a perpetual motion machine, and the train just rides around the world through a nuclear winter, and it's all the drama that happens. It's like the class warfare that happens on the train.
Each train car is a different class from like the caboose being low class.
And so I heard about it. I was like, this is going to suck, but it's great.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's do this thing.
Let's do it.
You guys want to do this?
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll go ahead and you can cast it up if you'd like.
I think it's really just,
we got...
I mean, somebody could be Paul Newman, somebody be Robert Redford, and then somebody...
And it's up to you if you want to do the stage directions or not, since they're your words.
Whatever. However you usually do it, I can do the stage directions.
Okay. And then do you want to be either of those guys as well? It's up to you.
However you do it. Why don't you guys, if you want to be Robert Redford and Paul Newman, and then I'll do the stage direction, and then there's like a couple ancillary characters.
Okay.
Perfect.
Towards the end that I can do. Now, I don't know how much ambiance you create, but if there... never mind. I was going to say if you have like a little... Like ambient sound from like a bar or restaurant, like people talking. It's a crowded bar and restaurant.
We definitely can find that.
And then that song,
The Entertainer.
The Entertainer maybe playing quietly too underneath the.
Yeah, maybe a guy throwing up.
Yeah, and actually, I have an audio recording of us reading your script. I'm going to play really quietly in the background.
Yeah, if you could get the audio from the movie and just play that.
All right, how do we like this first?
Yeah, that's great. And then just the piano playing underneath. Yeah, there we go. That's great.
All right.
Crazy.
How should we start?
Let's do it. I like this.
Interior saloon, afternoon. The saloon is full of people dressed in 1930s garb, smoking, drinking, and dancing. Someone is playing the entertainer on piano. Everyone is laughing and having a good time. Robert Redford enters wearing a floppy newsboy hat and sidles up to Paul Newman, who is sitting at the bar, drinking a whiskey and wearing suspenders.
I'll take a whiskey. Neat. Hello, old friend. Enjoying that whiskey?
It's sweeter than the autumn moonlight, Bobby. You know me. I love whiskey.
The friends share a laugh and cheers their whiskeys together, then slug them down.
Look, look, look.
I know you like something else besides whiskey, Paul.
Paul Newman flashes that million-dollar smile. He knows what Robert Redford wants him to say, but he's being coy.
Hmm. What do I love more than whiskey?
Doing stings!
Paul Newman nods his head as the music swells. He gets up from his bar stool and sings to the tune of the entertainer. P.S. Everyone else in the saloon is dancing around them.
Well, I love to do a sting.
It's his favorite thing.
Makes me want to get up and sing.
Singing about doing stings.
Doing stings is my favorite thing.
He's the king of doing stings.
Well, we love doing stings. It's our favorite things. We're the kings of doing stings.
Pretty good. End of musical number.
Well, I'm glad we're on the same page. Because I have an idea for a sting that could make us a lot of money.
I'm listening.
The two men start discussing the plan for the sting. We can't hear them, but Robert Redford is waving his arms excitedly as Paul Newman eagerly nods his head. The camera pulls out, and we fade out and back into...
Wait, first of all, sorry to interrupt, but I love the idea that a sting is to make money.
Isn't that what the, you know, that's...
Isn't it something cops do to catch criminals?
Well, that's what I was saying. I was like, why do I think it's like a heist thing? But then I Googled sting, just the definition, and it is like what cops do, but it's also like a con.
Oh, really?
Isn't that what the movie's about?
No, I think they're cops.
Oh, are they?
Well, I guess we'll have to find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. Like, do we find out about the real movie after we read this?
Yeah, we'll let Dave give us a little insight.
All right, so end of musical. Oh, yeah, so the two men start discussing. Oh, the camera fades out. We fade into a mobster gambling hall. A bunch of guys are sitting at different tables playing various card games. There's a craps game being played. It's like a little illegal casino run by the mob. There's tons of cigar smoke and guys yelling, "Blackjack!" and shit. There's a big, fat mob guy, Big Louie, sitting at a poker table chomping on a cigar. A squirrely mob guy, Slinky Jim, who's all skinny, walks over and leans in to tell Big Louie something.
Hey, boss, there's a guy here who says he's from the mob in Chicago and he wants to play in some illegal card games.
Chicago, eh? Send him over. I want to ask him some questions.
Okay, boss. He has a dame with him, too.
He brought a dame? We have plenty of dames upstairs in our prostitution brothel. Suit yourself, I guess. Okay, send them over.
Slinky Jim exits and comes back with Paul Newman wearing a fake mustache and a pinstriped mobster suit and hat, arm in arm with Robert Redford, who is dressed like a lady, kind of like Mae West or something, with big fake boobs and a big hat with a big long feather in it. It's obvious Big Louie finds him attractive. Big Louie kissing Robert Redford's hand.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you.
My name is Robert...
Lady Robert Redford is thrown for a loop. He forgot to make up a fake name. He has to think fast. He scans the room and his eyes land on a lamp.
Robert Lampshade.
He looks around at all the men there.
Men. Robert Lampshademan is my name, and the pleasure is all mine.
Wait, you're a lady. I mean, you're Robert. You should talk like a lady.
Robert Lampshade is my name, and the pleasure is all mine.
Big Louie is smitten with Lady Robert Redford. Paul Newman taps him on the shoulder.
Oh, and you must be.
Oh no, Paul Newman forgot his fake Chicago gangster name he made up on the way over. He's got to think fast. He looks around and down at his shoes.
Shoelace!
He looks around the room and sees a man exiting the bathroom.
Sound like you were calling a dog named Shoelace.
Shoelace!
He sees a man exiting the bathroom. We can hear the toilet flushing behind him.
Toilet man. My name is Shoelace Toiletman. I'm from the Cincinnati Mob.
Cincinnati Mob? I thought Think Slinky Jim said you was from the Chicago Mob.
Oh, did I say Cincinnati? I meant Chicago. Yeah, Chicago.
He can be such a silly Billy sometimes. We're totally from Chicago. What a jokester.
They both laugh nervously. Big Louie is eyeing them up and down. He's beginning to get suspicious.
So you're Shoelace Toiletman from the Chicago Mob. I've heard a lot about you. Tell me, is it true that you can eat 50 hard-boiled eggs?
Oh, yeah. No problem. I'm known for eating 50 hard-boiled eggs, right?
Slinky Jim enters with a basket full of hard-boiled eggs and plops it down in front of Paul Newman. Big Louie yells to get everyone's attention.
Can I have everyone's attention, please? Shoelace Toilet Man from the Chicago Mob is here. He's going to eat 50 hard-boiled eggs for us.
Everyone stops what they're doing and gathers around Paul Newman.
Well, here goes nothing.
He peels the first egg and eats it. Everyone in the place counts in unison.
One!
He peels the second egg and eats it.
Two!
Fade out and fade back in. Time has passed. Paul Newman slowly eats another hard-boiled egg.
49!
While everyone is distracted by the egg eating, Lady Robert Redford is going around rigging all the gambling games, marking the cards, changing the dice, pickpocketing people. It's a real sting. Paul Newman chokes down the last egg.
50!
Everyone goes nuts. Yay! Woo! Cheering wildly. They all go back to their gambling games and resume gambling.
Oh, man, I am full.
I'll bet. I don't even think this is the movie you do that in, come to think of it.
Well, what's done is done. Shall we?
The entertainer starts to play as they walk arm in arm over to a blackjack table and slap down some money. They both yell, "Blackjack!" simultaneously because they just won. The sting is off to a good start. Paul Newman lights a cigar with a $100 bill as they win another hand. Big Louie watches with a big dumb grin on his fat, stupid face. A little tiny man comes out of Big Louie's teeth, opening one of the eye teeth like a door and closing it behind him. He crawls up Big Louie's mustache into his nostril and up into his brain. We hear an ignition starting, then the beeping sound like a truck backing up as Big Louie backs out of the room. I don't know.
Wow, that was great.
I'm just going to let the entertainers finish out here behind us.
Could go on forever.
Yeah, you're right. So Dave, you have seen it.
I have seen it, but it's been a long time.
But wouldn't you say you probably nailed it?
Yeah, no. It's at least 80% there. There were some lines ripped straight from the movie,
yeah,
for sure.
The 20% was, I think it's a whole family lives behind his tooth at the end, not just the one man.
I don't know. I was just being silly.
Is there a movie where he eats 50 hard-boiled eggs?
Yeah, it's Cool Hand Luke. I Googled
that. Okay. Shoelace Toilet Man is great.
There was a lot of, in those older movies, easily confused by disguises working way better than they probably should.
Yeah.
And I think so. I think you probably nailed it.
Like
I think
Bugs Bunny.
Close.
Yeah. I don't know if Robert Redford dresses like a lady in the movie.
I think that's a pretty fair bet for when it was made.
Yeah. Because they're not looking to, like, hire
a woman.
Well,
I bet there's something in that movie. Because I feel like when you watch movies like that, that's where that was, like, a huge kind of cultural phenomenon at the time.
Yeah.
That's where gags like, you know, like when they're like, "What's your name?" And he's like, light
right,
switch.
Like tropey stuff was invented by
yeah,
these.
Oh,
my God.
Like,
exactly.
Oh, that's the first time they did that.
Yeah.
And then now it's in every
it's
movie.
Almost, it's a joke when it exists now.
Right.
But it was just the thing they came up with.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, you're right. They're con men in the movie. They're con men. Yeah. So,
it's, wow.
So, here's the thing. I have seen it.
Maybe we should, I think we should reread the script now that Dave understands what it's actually about.
Yeah,
if we could go back and go
Cue
from the top.
The entertainer.
So, they're just two con men out here. There's a whole, for a while, everyone was just kind of some version of a pool hustler.
Oh, that's another Paul Newman.
Like in all of America?
No, just, yeah, in all of America. That was the American dream, was convincing people you were bad at what you were best at.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. This is how you hold the pool cue?
I could never see.
Do you throw it underhand? Or?
Yeah.
So you got to eat the whole pool cue.
50 of them.
I couldn't imagine anyone ever getting hustled in pool. Anytime I watch a pool hustling thing, I'm like, how do you not know you're getting hustled? Are you just that cocky?
Well, it probably happened a lot more before the movie The Hustler came out.
That's
and
true.
The Color of Money.
And
I bet it still works. There's a lot of dumb, there's a lot of ego.
That's
true. There's a lot of guys who just think they're great at pool.
But imagine watching the movie The Hustler and being like, ah, shit, that's what happened to me. Like, you just got hustled the week before. And
I bet you go to any pool hall in the country and there's always two dipshits who think they're hustling each other.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's just two people who aren't that good at pool.
Yeah. We should go to pool halls and hustle people,
or they're
but
fine.
Not for money.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not good enough to be a pool hustler, but they think they are.
I'm a therapy hustler. I just talk your ear off about all my problems. And then I'm just like, okay, I guess you won. It was the best $10 I ever spent. It's like you take forever to do your shot, and it just takes you like 2 hours.
So it's like, so what is... Is there anything, because we'll talk a lot about, these are like good movies and like prestigious movies and things like that that you haven't seen. And we're going to talk a little bit about like Mad Men, which you haven't seen, which is like the prestige television.
And Mad Men, I think that's something I don't think I've seen a second.
Oh,
of
I wanted
that,
to
besides
bring up
the trail or whatever.
Yeah, the ads or whatever.
We briefly talked about it before the podcast, but you were talking about how you saw an ad for The Martian.
Oh, yeah.
And we're just like, oh, I'm never going to see this.
The first time, I think we might have even been in the theater.
Yeah.
Me and my girlfriend, and they showed a trailer, and I was like, I'm never going to see that.
Why?
I'll never see it. I don't know. I just was like, you know, I wasn't like hateful towards it, but it was like, you know what? I'll probably never see that. And was like, I'm just going to make that be my thing. I'm never going to see The Martian.
That's great.
Never going to see The Martian.
Are you generally not into like space?
I'm not a science fiction guy at all. I was just talking to somebody about that. Like Star Wars, when I was a little kid, I loved playing with the Star Wars toys.
Yeah.
But I saw like Star Wars and Return of the Jedi maybe once. And I'm sure I thought it was fine when I was a little kid, but was never one of those guys that like, I want to watch that. Like Game of Thrones, I don't know. I'm a little too grounded I need to relate to something on a certain level to be
invested in
it. So
that's why you like horror movies?
Well, I mean, I feel like, yeah, I do. Well, I mean, because that elicits a genuine emotion. Like, I feel like horror, and now that like all these, since Jordan made Get Out, there's a lot of, I know like three comedy people who have horror movie deals now.
Yeah, well, as genres, they're really similar in how the movies move.
And it is kind of the same, because comedy's all about like surprise and eliciting like
totally
and like, it's like extreme unbelievable heightening,
and they're emotions that you can't control. Like you can't not laugh at something at a certain point. If you find something that a certain level of funny, you can't not laugh at it.
Yeah.
And there's also, you know, it's the same thing with being scared. You can't not be scared of something that taps into.
Yeah, and lots of times when I like horror movies, I'm not well versed in them, and it's kind of a daunting thing to. They're sort of on their own island in my brain a little bit,
right?
And maybe it's because they don't get the weight and credit of other genres and movies, that they don't all blend together. If you're talking like award stuff and
it's
things
tough.
Like that,
yeah.
But I will. When I get really afraid or something scares me legitimately, then I will start laughing afterwards.
Yeah.
At any of that has happened to me. Like if I'm watching, I remember the first time I saw the movie The Descent.
The cave movie. Right?
Yeah. Something scared me so much in The Descent. And it wasn't even like, and then I just couldn't stop like laughing at myself. And I was like, because I just pull back and I'm like, look at how I just felt from people on a set. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I like that. I like that feeling.
Hereditary's good. I just rewatched that and it's, I gotta say, I think I enjoyed it more the second time.
Yeah. Do you think there's something to not having to follow where the story's going that you can enjoy it more?
Well, Hereditary, I felt like I'm always, you know, Hereditary, the first time I saw it, I thought, oh, there's like another thing going on here that they're going to reveal. And then it it without spoiling it. I don't know. It was just after kind of knowing what was going to happen, watching it the second time, I was able to pick up on like different.
Yeah,
there were like little different foreshadowing things.
And so you like appreciate the writing.
It's a good movie. I mean, that's a good horror movie. Horror's tough too because there's a lot of shit out there. I mean, there's a lot of shitty movies in general.
Yeah,
and horror's tough too because even like great horror movies, in general, like I think Hereditary and A Quiet Place have like good Rotten Tomatoes scores and stuff.
It's very rare that one is like.
Like 60% is like equivalent to 90% for a regular movie.
Yeah, because people are starting from such a place of no.
Well, but they're also, I think people are just so fucking stupid that they're like, that was scary. I don't like that.
Right.
Like, you know, they'll give it a bad review because it was fucking a good, because it was scary.
Yeah, I would love that, like, for a comedy. It's like,
and
I
laughed
the whole
time.
Guy's
head explode.
Yeah.
Guy got his head chopped off. Fucking zero stars.
It is such a, yeah. I do feel a little boom of horror happening right now, though.
Oh, totally.
Or at least if they make their way into me knowing about them, then something is happening with it that seems okay.
Well, I mean,
okay.
Get Out, you know.
Yeah.
Get Out was great.
That started a thing. And then,
did
you
see It Follows?
Place. Yeah, yeah. It Follows was, I mean,
so
there's
good.
A lot of logic problems in that.
Yes, definitely.
But the imagery, you know, like that big, lanky old guy in the T-shirt, like, who's, like, It does a great job of like, ugh, get fucking knock it off, you know?
Yeah.
But there's shit like when they try to electrocute a ghost, you know?
Also the part where he's just standing on top of the house, that just wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Like it just breaks all of the logic of the movie
there's
up to that point.
There's a few things where you're like, hold on, wait, there, what? But you don't want to, yeah, you can suspend your disbelief enough if it's, you know, creeping you out. Actually, Duncan Trussell told, did we go see that together? Either way, because do you know It Follows? Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but I know about it.
So it's basically, like, it starts off, there's a girl. It's like, it comes from having sex, right? Like,
yeah.
You have sex with some, like, you're possessed.
It's a sexually transmitted curse.
Yeah,
truly.
Exactly. Yeah, 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 that's exactly what
it is.
This
is just kind of following our lines of talking about how sometimes the pitches for a good horror movie don't do it for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you have sex with somebody and then there's like these evil spirits that are trying to get you until you have sex with somebody else and pass it off to them. And then Duncan was like, he's like, if that happened to me, I'd just have sex with a fucking Siberian tiger. And then like, because then I forget his logic.
So the curse would like leave
then
humans?
Then it has to follow a tiger.
And then the tiger,
and then the tiger's going to like just murder it.
I could just fuck a bigger ghost.
Yeah, that's so
funny.
True.
Have sex with the ghost that's following you.
I don't know if that's the ending, but
I also
if they're
love
looking for
saying
notes.
That because it's like, why didn't that occur to them?
Right.
Like, why didn't they think of that, huh?
Try to have sex
just
with the ghost.
Just fuck a tiger, obviously.
Right. They're not stressed out in this movie. Or they should be thinking as clearly as I am watching the movie.
And also, you know, having sex with a tiger, the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, right. I mean, I guess you could, like,
again,
yeah,
in a
at
week?
The zoo, yeah. Get it, tranquilize it. I mean, you can do it to a stray dog, maybe, or something. You know, just grab a dog. And
wait, what was that sound?
That was actually more of a still playing from the That's YouTube like, background noise of a bar.
Wow, that was also the moment I found out that Brendan brought his dog.
Hopefully his. And not
it's my dog.
So you see like these, is there any sort of like, would be known as like trash that you're really into watching or things that you really do keep up with? It could be TV or if
no.
Like,
I mean, like the garbage TV is like if I'm home, there is a like Maury Povich I'll still indulge in.
Yeah,
it gets. But if like if I'm around, because like the way my schedule's been lately, I could watch. I could work my schedule to where I'm. It's capable or it's possible for me to watch Maury like every day.
This gap could always like 11 to noon.
Actually,
or whenever
this
it's on.
Podcast I think fucked it up. This
oh,
is
sorry
when
about
Maury's
that.
On. But that it gets to be a little too much, like too much shit. It's like anything. Like if you eat McDonald's all week, you're just gonna fucking feel terrible.
Yeah.
But like Maury and there's a show that I just lost interest in. There's a new season of it called Are You the One on MTV.
Okay. On MTV?
Yeah. It's like they put 20 dipshits in a fucking house. 10 guys, 10 girls.
Oh, I've heard of this show. Yeah.
It's great. Like, if on the MTV app, like, if you have Apple TV or whatever, you can watch the previous seasons, and it's like, it's good. I mean, it takes, you know, it's the typical...
Yeah, what's the premise?
The premise is, and it's all bullshit. Like, I had on my old podcast, we had the old host on the show because I'm like, it's fucking rigged. It's gotta be. And so he's like, no, you can't because there's these games. Technically, it's a game
reality show.
It's a reality show. They get 10 guys, 10 girls. They all look the fucking same, except some of them are different races, you know? But, like, you can't keep any, like, all the white girls, you're like,
what's that?
All the blondes, you're like, oh, which one? Who the fuck is that? Yeah. And then all the brunettes, and then it's like, oh, well, that's one of the, like, half black girls or whatever. But they're all like that typical MTV, like, you know, the challenge. Everybody's in shape.
Yeah, and, like a Real World Road Rules type
of
cast.
Yeah, all the guys are interchangeable. Yeah.
And they're also, all of them are supposed to be, like, mathematically the perfect match to someone else in the house.
Yeah, they all filled out, like, these applications or whatever, and they're like, okay, your perfect match is here. So it's 10 guys, 10 girls, and they have to, like, go... Basically, they put them all in the house, they give them fucking gallons of tequila, they get wasted every night, fight and fuck.
Yeah.
And then they have to figure out who's perfect match, and they do these, like...
And so at the end of every episode, they're like... They all pair off.
Yeah. So you've seen it.
I have been told about it.
Okay. Dave was like, I was on it. Now that I, like, we're talking about
also,
it, I was on it.
This is what happened in The Sting.
Okay.
No. I don't. So how do you find out which one is supposed to be your match?
Well, yeah. So then every night they do a ceremony where everybody, you know, pairs up and they go up and it's funny too, because they have all this like fake technologies. Like they put their hands on these iPads that scan their hands. It's like, okay, you're locked in as a match. like all this like bells and whistles. Yeah. No, it's just for the show. There's a place called the... what's it called? Not the isolation chamber. The
prison.
Either way, there's this thing. Like when they put these people in this like little room, like every episode, everybody in the house votes. They're like, I think Vicky and Dave are a perfect match. So then they put them into the chamber or whatever, the perfect match. I forget what it's fucking called. Yeah. It's got a good name.
Oh, yeah, the PMC.
And so they stand in there, and then this like laser like scans them. It'll say like, not a match or a perfect match.
Wow.
But it is really just nothing.
It's just not. It's just for the show. If the people that they put into the, I got to find out what it's called. The people that they put into that chamber.
I guess I could be looking that up.
Google, are you the one fucking perfect.
I'm looking up, are you the one match chamber?
Okay. Yeah. That should maybe get
matching ceremony. Ceremony, pretty lengthy.
So if they're a perfect match, a truth booth, that's what it's called. just thought of it. So then if they do send people into the truth booth and they are a perfect match, then those people are like taken out of the game and sent to like their own hotel room to fuck for the rest of the thing. They still have to come back every night for the...
But once you find your match, you get to spend the rest.
And then every episode, they're like, they pair everyone up, and there's always like...
Do they
like,
say, okay, go fuck in your
Well, but I feel bad for the people like who become perfect matches, because then it's like, we can't... Well, it's not so much being off the show, but it's like, they can't just... Because everybody's just fucking each other the whole time.
Yeah,
and they're just wasted and partying, and it's like, you're not in the house anymore. You're in, like, the honeymoon suite or whatever they call it. So you can't, like, hang out with anybody. You just hang out with this dumb fucking asshole that you were like, you're not a perfect match. You're all matches
idiots.
Enough with each other.
Yeah.
So, like, everybody, every night they do a ceremony where, like, everybody pairs up and it'll be like, see how many of you are perfect matches. We won't tell you, but we'll tell you how many you have right by shining these lights in the sky. And it'll be like, okay, one match, two, three matches. And it'll be like, okay, you got 3 matches out of 10. You guys have some work to do, and you got to figure out.
Sort of like a Price is Right game.
Kind of. And so, but then here's another thing. If there's a black, because the thing is, you win $1 million, split 20 ways. Because that's the other thing. You're always talking about, We're gonna get $1 million. It's like, no, you're gonna get like $15,000 after taxes.
Yeah, you're gonna get $50,000 and then lose 40% of it, and then lose 30%
of the rest. 20 people. So what is that? 20 people each get
50,000,
yeah. And you're gonna lose fucking half right off the top,
and then you're gonna have costs.
Yeah, yeah. You're gonna get 15. you're gonna get $20,000 each.
You're gonna pay for a bad wedding.
You're gonna get like, well, no, yeah, these people don't stay together, I'm sure. But but one thing is, like, if there's a blackout, like during the ceremony where they pair everyone up, mm-hmm. and you have to, they shine the lights and go, okay, there's, you got four perfect matches in there, so figure out who they are. If there's no perfect matches, then it's cut in half to $50,000 or $500,000. You like the pot's cut in half. So,
I was thinking this could use some more stipulations.
Yeah, where it's like, if you guys don't, and they're always like, you're not playing the game right. It's like, how do you play? Like, nobody's figuring anything out. They're fucking, they're getting wasted every night. Oh, another funny thing, because it's always in a tropical location. Another funny thing is all the white guy, or there's at least like, there's always like two hayseeds, you know, so just like big buff guys from the Midwest.
Yeah.
By the fucking second episode.
I thought
episode.
You were just saying like Hasidic wrong.
Hayseeds. Couple hayseeds.
Well, just like a couple corn-fed fucking shit. Yeah, you know, a couple like guys from Iowa or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
By the second episode, because they'll do like, you know, the interviews like, yo, I thought Tracy was like, you know, we were vibing by the pool or whatever. The guys are fucking so sunburned. They're like fucking bright fucking red with like scabs on their nose.
Because
they're like in Tahiti and just like outside wasted from dusk till dawn or dawn till dusk. But here's the thing. Every season,
yeah, I wanna
this
know
might
why
be
this
the
show
fifth
fell
season.
Off for you.
I think I'd, you know, I don't know. Like there just has to be certain. It's good. I mean, it's exciting. I don't know. Maybe I'll catch up on it. Like, my girlfriend's been watching it.
You've talked yourself back into it?
There's just a certain level of people. It's just not that interesting to me. Like, there's this one crazy bitch on there who, like, the first night she hooked up with a guy, and now it's like, they're married. Like, she's just like, why is he looking at that girl? It's like, you met yesterday.
And then what if you're the guy and that's your match?
Oh my God, this guy. Well, yeah, that's the thing. I feel bad for who gets matched up. Maybe I'll watch it this season. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't been like, it's like the cast is just so, maybe it's because I'm getting older still too. And I'm just like, I can't fucking tell any of these people apart.
What's
so
it called? Hard Knocks?
Are You the One?
Oh.
but here's the thing. The show is 100% rigged. It's got to be because every season, except for one, I think they all win.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, mathematically, that seems fucking impossible.
It's crazy
with these stupid people.
That is the outcome you would want to happen as a viewer.
Well, I feel like they have to do that to make them not sue the company or something.
Sure.
Just be like, they've rigged the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because we had the
you'd want to know that going into it too. Like, what? I'm investing all this time of my life and everything. I would at least like to know for sure I'm going to leave not with nothing.
Well, I think these people are just such jackasses, too, that they... I mean, this is also a career for some people. Like, being an MTV person is like...
That's true.
I think on these, like, challenge shows...
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of these shitheads from previous seasons that are now in that.
I've always like given wild props to The Miz. He's a professional wrestler, but he started on he's like Real World like season two.
Well, this
like,
Theo Vaughn came from that too.
Right? Yeah,
and Christina Pazinski.
And the guy The Miz showed up day one, and he was like, "I want to be a professional wrestler someday." He was saying, "Oh, wow." He's like, "So when I get drunk, my professional wrestling personality will come out, and that's why I'm on the show." And he's like leveraged it and kept doing this, and then he did like MTV at a wrestling reality show, and he did that, now he's like the WWE champion.
Oh, is he?
Like he's kind of just become this main. He just kind of always saw what his goal was and leverage this MTV personality career, which does exist. People can just exist on their reality because they like to bring people back because then viewers are like, oh, I like Matt or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just kind of was like eye on the prize the whole time.
I like Slinky Jim. Are you guys wrestling? Are you guys wrestling guys?
I've never been.
I'm in and out of the world. I keep living with people who are really into it. And so I'll pay attention to some of the bigger pay-per-views through them.
Okay.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Just curious.
Brendan,
that's something I kind of judge people on. people that are like in their 30s and still as much into wrestling as they were when they were 10.
No, yeah, I'll watch.
Yeah, I'm like, are you all right?
Something
yeah.
fucking
when
wrong.
Like a, like, when like a big pay-per-view will come on and I'll be like, who's still around?
Yeah.
And then he'll be like, this guy's into this with this guy. And I'm like, oh, look at that. Goldberg's still here or like something like uh-huh. that. And then I'll be like, well, I'll watch what Goldberg does.
Yeah.
That's where I'm living.
Speaking of reality TV, have you seen, I saw this show, I think I was just watching like network, like antenna TV at 2 o'clock in the morning mm-hmm. at some point, and the show came on that I'd never heard of somehow. The premise is amazing, and it's hosted by Jerry Springer. Have you seen the show Baggage?
Oh, I remember that. I mean, that's got to be syndicated. That, see, I think that was like
explain
a while
it. I've never
ago.
Heard of it.
Oh, you don't know the show? No. Yeah, it blew my mind. I think it actually moved to the Game Show Network and it's still going.
Oh, really?
But
I forget
like,
how it goes. Yeah.
The premise is crazy.
I like if the Game Show Network is like reviving old game shows like Netflix and Amazon are doing for old other shows.
Yeah. Totally.
The game show, people are like, please bring back Baggage. And Game Show Network's like, we're bringing it back.
Everyone should watch Baggage. It's crazy. It's like I said, it's hosted by Jerry Springer. It's. Literally it's a dating show. There's, generally like a woman and then three male contestants yeah. fighting to date her.
Okay.
And then they all have three, I was just reading about it to remind myself. They all have three pieces of literal baggage of like, everyone has three suitcases, one small, one medium, one large, and they all contained information on their emotional baggage. And then there are all these games where they have to guess whose baggage is whose.
This sounds like a show called Gray Mirror. It's like not quite flushed out enough. But like, wouldn't it be wacky?
Dude, you should see it. Because it's literally just like, there is a part of it where they say the contestant's baggage, but they don't say who has which one. So, and it's so crazy because they make this poor girl guess, all right, which one of these guys punched a woman in the face, which one robbed his own mother, and which one abandoned his kids? It's like, it's so funny.
And then she has to look at them and be like, mom puncher.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow. Well, it's nice that it's, sometimes, you know, we get this. That's fun. I also like
yeah.
Just something. Steve Wilkos. Speaking of Jerry Springer, Steve Wilkos is that's the new. That is like below Maury in the trash.
Oh, I've never even heard of this guy.
Yeah, Wilkos Steve has his Wilkos, own like spinoff show.
He was Jerry Springer's
the bouncer
bodyguard. Yeah, the big security guy,
big bald white guy.
Okay. And he's been. I'm going to say he's had a show for 10 years.
I think
years,
Wilkos
at least,
has been on for a while.
Yeah, and really? But his shit is like. Fucking, it's worth, like, Maury's still all paternity tests. Steve is, like, fucking lie detector tests, but it's, like, child abuse and shit. Like, where he's, like, your daughter says that your fucking live-in boyfriend, like, molested her. And then the guy will fucking, you know, like, I didn't fucking do it. And then the lie detector test comes back.
What?
It's fucking, I mean, it's like, it's, or like, you know, one guy broke his kid's fucking leg.
Jesus.
By like abusing him or something. And it's.
That's so intense to be like, and we'll find out if your dad broke your leg after this.
Yeah.
And totally. It's just commercials
well,
for,
it's just like,
for Eminem.
Like, why would you? yeah, it's fucked up. Like, I can't. People agreeing to go on the show.
Yeah, I always wonder what like the actual guise of everything with this stuff is, and like what you're
agreeing
to. Well,
it's a free trip
to
New York. I mean,
to.
The people that they get are fucking pure garbage. Like from
just
you
and
know
then
from
you,
a trailer.
You
like
get
if
a
you
trip.
Live in a trailer, that's fine. You know, it's not. But like they're from like just so out of like a free trip to New York and like
and you get to be on TV.
Dentures. Like that's what somebody told me. That worked for Maury, I think. That's like,
they
get
dentures?
Teeth. Or maybe it was Jerry Springer.
Oh, man, I'm missing a
Jerry
tooth.
Springer became totally fake, though, I think.
Oh, yeah,
point.
It was written. Most of it, I think.
Yeah, maybe from the beginning. I never really got into that. But, like, I think it was Maury that they were like, oh, they get teeth. That's, like, a big thing. They send them to a place and they get fucking...
I'm missing a tooth.
That's
dentures
crazy.
Or whatever.
Dave,
yeah.
Break my leg.
You got it.
I want to go on Wilkos and get
well,
this tooth
I am your
put
dad.
In.
Wilkos is depressing. That's...
Uh, Well, I want to do. We gotta.
Yeah, sorry.
Get into this.
I'll shut up.
No, it's
you guys,
fine.
You guys Mad do your game? Podcast. I'll shut up.
This is not my podcast.
Dave's just hanging. I like getting in. I like talking. I am. We gotta get into this Mad Men game.
Yeah, you want me to get the fuck out of here?
So what we're gonna do is, Dave's gonna leave.
Why? Oh, because it's an isolation booth thing.
It's the truth booth, I think, is what we're going with. I'm gonna watch that show.
Do it, yeah. Get into a season or whatever. I mean,
because there's
on
something
now.
To, and it's what we talk about a lot on the podcast. Is like there's something to spend. Like that's so watchable.
Yeah,
and you can spend so much time watching something like that versus like. Am I going to go back and ever watch these old movies that are like this prestigious thing that hold all this weight? Or do I have time to invest 200 hours in The Wire? But then I'm like, oh, but I have rewatched Survivor.
Oh, that's weird.
Or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, it is probably pretty weird. Is Dave out of the room? All right. So I'm going to ask you, you've never seen Mad Men.
Dave. Did he turn? He did. He turned around. Oh, he can hear you there still.
Leave.
I was testing to see if like... he could. I thought he was just going to stay out there.
So you've never seen Mad Men.
Right.
This is one of my favorite shows.
Okay.
One of the few things I have actually like rewatched a scripted show. And
I think I might watch it someday.
It's one of the more, you know, this is like the, you got to watch. This is one of the, like, you got to see it. So you know what I mean? It's like a big prestigious thing.
John Hamm drove me home from La Poubelle one time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you didn't even watch the show because of that?
No.
That didn't. And so I'm going to ask you 20 questions about Mad Men, where a lot of them are plot based. A lot of them, you definitely seeing the show would help you get it.
Okay.
Our record for having not seen it is 7
out of 10?
Out of 20.
Okay.
And the floor is 2.
Okay.
A big shout out to Kurt Bronner, who got 2 out of
he's
20.
He's doing that on
questions,
purpose. Kurt wants everyone
7.
To think he's a weirdo.
And so we're going to see if you can get more than 2 and maybe even more than 7. But this is rapid fire trivia about a movie or a TV show you've never seen. We're seeing it would definitely help you.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Question 1. Who's the creator of Mad Men?
I don't know.
Matthew Weiner. Question 2. Name 2 actors or actresses on Mad Men.
John Hamm and Rich Summers.
Yeah. Question 3. Name 2 character names from Mad Men.
Don Draper.
I'll take a first name.
Sally.
Yeah, that's his daughter's name.
Oh!
Question 4. Name 2 of the 6 shows that Internet Movie Database lists as more like this show.
Wait, what?
Name 2 shows that IMDb says are, if you like this, there are more like it.
If you like Mad Men, you'll like. Ugh.
And you get 2 strikes.
Okay. How about that Mrs. Maisel show?
No.
Ugh. The Wire?
Yep.
Okay. And, how about Handmaid's Tale?
Nope. All right, we got one.
Wasn't that lady in the Mad Men?
She was. Question 5, what is Don Draper's job?
He's an ad executive guy.
Question 6, what is the name of the agency at the start of Mad Men?
I don't know.
Question 7, within 5, how many episodes of Mad Men are there?
How many episodes? Okay. I'm going to say 60.
92.
Ugh.
Question 8, how does Pete Campbell's father die?
Suicide.
No. Question 9. How does Don Draper's half-brother die?
Suicide.
Yes.
All right!
Question 10. What musical instrument does Joan Harris know how to play?
Joan?
Yes.
Say piano or a horn?
Close. It's an accordion. It's kind of a piano and a horn.
You know what? That is kind of like...
We'll give you half if that ends up being the tiebreaker.
Okay.
Question 11. In season 1, episode 4, entitled New Amsterdam, a group of young execs are listening to a comedy album from which comedian?
Oh, I'm going to ask, does the title have anything to do with the...
I don't think so.
Okay. Let's see, Mort Saul or... okay.
Bob Newhart.
I have all of his albums.
Question 12. How does Guy McKendrick's foot get injured?
McKendrick's foot.
It's fun to see you like talking it out. Like,
well, yeah, I know. I don't know why I repeated it. It doesn't help. His foot. I mean, oh man, I'm gonna say they shot in it.
I guess it ran over by a lawnmower.
Okay, I wasn't even gonna.
Question 13: What brand of cigarettes does Don Draper smoke?
Pall Mall.
Lucky strikes. Damn. Question 14. What country's tourism bureau comes to Sterling Cooper hoping to make it a bigger tourist destination?
What countries? Okay. Russia?
Israel. Question 15. What company makes the slide projector that Don presents at the end of season one?
Kodak?
It is Kodak. Question 16. The creatives at Sterling Cooper come up with the tagline, "Mark your man," for what kind of product?
Mark your man. Be like a cologne or... cologne?
Lipstick.
Damn it.
Question 17. In season 5, Harry tries to help out old friend Paul Kinsey, who has become involved with what religious movement?
Like Hare Krishna?
It is Hare Krishna's. Okay. Question 18. What is Don Draper's real name?
Like the actor?
No.
Oh. Joshua Goldenstein.
Dick Whitman. Question 19. What happens to abruptly end Roger and Don's partying with the Ames twins?
What happens to end their partying with the Ames twins?
Yes.
Don's wife catches them?
Roger has a heart attack. Oh. Last question. What company's ad campaign is the final shot of the series, implying that Don came up with it?
Which company's ad campaign?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's got to be a big one. I mean, is it going to be Coke or
it
something?
It is Coca-Cola.
Okay, all right. All right.
I think you did good. I got to count these back. Can you wave Dave back in? I think that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
You tied
the record.
How many people have tied the record?
Only one.
Damn. One more, I would have set a record. Lipstick. Oh. 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh.
You know what's, yeah. That's crazy. I mean, and you were like, you're rolling off like context clues and time and everything you know about a show without having seen it.
Dude, you're going to beat me for sure.
All right, he got 7 of the 20 and he'd never seen it. Dave, you've seen it.
I'll probably get 0.
There's some pretty easy ones. Like, for seeing it though, like, there were a couple questions where it's like, well, you would know that if you saw it.
Hopefully. Right. Dave, you ready? Rapid fire trivia about a movie or TV show we're seeing. It definitely helps.
Sure.
All right. Question 1. Who is the creator of Mad Men?
I don't know.
Question 2. That's not right. Question 2 is Matthew Weiner. Question 2. Name 2 actors or actresses in Mad Men.
Oh my God. I never know anyone's name. How do I not know her name? I love The Handmaid's Tale. Also, John Hamm.
John and Hamm. Question 3, name 2 characters on Mad Men.
Dude, what is... Yeah, it's... What is his name? I know his name. I like Peggy and Pete.
There you go. That works. That works. Yeah. Question 4, Don Draper. Question
Don
4,
Draper,
name 2 of the 6 shows that IMDb lists as more shows like Mad Men.
More shows like Mad Men. Okay.
You get 2 strikes.
I get 2 strikes. Suits?
No.
I don't know. They're all wearing suits.
Please list 2 things IMDb lists as more things on Mad Men.
More things on...
No, that would be, suits and typewriters.
Right, misogyny. More shows like Mad Men.
Is The Office in
The Office? The Sopranos, Boardwalk Empire, Downton Abbey, House of Cards, The Wire, and this one's weird, Dexter.
The Wire?
Question 5, what is Don Draper's job?
He's an ad exec.
Yep. Question 6, what is the name of the agency at the start of Mad Men?
Oh, I don't know.
Question 7, within 5, how many episodes of Mad Men are there?
Within 5?
So it's not like 6.
Yeah, one.
Within five, how many seasons of Mad Men are there?
How many seasons? Well, I think there's seven. First.
Yeah, it's 70. Wait, 80. 92, okay.
Question eight. How does Pete Campbell's father, Andrew, die?
Ah, man. Boating accident.
Plane wreck.
Wow.
Question nine. How does Don Draper's half-brother die?
In war?
He hangs himself.
Oh, okay.
Question 10, what musical instrument does Joan Harris know how to play?
Violin?
Accordion.
Okay.
Question 11, in season 1, episode 4, entitled New Amsterdam, a group of young execs are listening to a comedy album from which comedian?
Kyle Ayers.
No.
Yeah, I don't know, Red Fox?
Bob Newhart. Okay. Question 12, how does Guy McKendrick's foot get injured?
Yeah. I don't know.
It gets ran over by a lawnmower. Question 13, what brand of cigarettes does Don Draper smoke?
Oh, does he smoke Lucky's?
Yes.
Yeah.
Question 14, which country's tourism bureau comes to Sterling Cooper hoping to make it a bigger tourist destination?
Huh. I want to, yeah. This is in the 50s. That would probably be somewhere in Europe, right? Because they wouldn't...
The country of Europe.
Yeah, yes. Europe. I'm going to go with the Pacific Ocean.
Israel.
Okay.
Question 15, what company makes the slide projector that Don presents at the end of season one?
Kodak?
Yep. Question 16, the creatives at Sterling Cooper come up with the tagline, mark your man for what kind of lipstick? Oh, shit, I said the answer. What kind of product?
Oh. Nice. I'm going to go with lipstick.
No, it's actually you not. Heard I was me trying say to foil you. You also yelled lipstick, yeah. Question 17, in season 5, Harry tries to help out old friend Paul Kinsey, who has become involved with which religious movement?
Oh, like Jehovah's Witness?
Hare Krishna.
Oh, sure.
Question 18, what is Don Draper's real name?
I don't know.
Question 19, what happens to abruptly end Roger and Don's partying with the Ames twins?
They kill someone?
No, Roger has a heart attack.
Okay.
Last question, what company's ad campaign is the final shot of the series, implying Don came up with it?
Oh, I have no idea.
Coca-Cola. All right, let's see how we did.
No, I think just to go back to my half point.
I was going to bring this back up, actually.
Yeah, okay. So I think I did set a new record.
One, two, three, four. Four, Dave.
Yeah, yeah.
Five, if you count lipstick.
I knew I wasn't going to get it. I mean,
not only is Dave bad at watching shows,
bad at deductive reasoning.
Yeah, deductive reasoning, educated guesses.
We pulled seven out of just context.
Sure.
And I mean, 7.5 because he didn't get accordion, but he did say horn and piano.
Piano. I was thinking piano.
Piano
or
and a horn.
Keys, I don't know. I think the keyboard thing, that could be. Yeah. I mean, I did say piano.
So we'll say seven and change.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I think we got a record. All right, guys, we got to get this in and get out of here. We're going to play a round of Guess What Movie Trailer Kyle's Dad is Describing, having had only watched trailer, never having heard of the movie. If you think you know, just sort of hold off. It's like maybe 20 or 30 seconds.
Okay. So he's riding on the train. He's calm. Now he's walking around the city while the news plays. Lots of shots of him in the city. He and the old man don't know what to do. She's standing there amongst the cows, and they're working on a plan. The music seems too uplifting for all the shots of chaos. He is sure they are almost there. Is this supposed to be happy?
Whoa.
That was hard.
That is hard.
So he's reading something he wrote?
He's watching like notes on a movie trailer.
He's watching notes?
Giving notes on a movie trailer while watching it.
That he has, yeah.
But he's not watching it as he's saying. He doesn't talk like that.
No.
Like,
yeah.
He's reading something he wrote down?
Yeah.
That, okay. Because I feel like the inflection was wrong.
Yeah, so, he's just sort of rereading.
I have no
clue. Can we hear it again?
Yeah, there's a city, there's cows.
Okay, so he's riding on the train. He's calm. Now he's walking around the city while the news plays. Lots of shots of him in the city. He and the old man don't know what to do. She's standing there amongst the cows, and they're working on a plan. The music seems too uplifting for all the shots of chaos. He is sure they are almost there.
Is it Curly Sue?
Is this supposed to be happy?
I don't know.
It's pretty recent.
Oh, it's recent.
Last 15
it sounds
years.
Like it's sort of like an apocalyptic type movie.
Yeah.
All the shots of chaos in a city. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Like things crashing into buildings, things like that.
Oh.
Would be like a Transformers.
Oh, amongst the cow.
More
oh.
artsy, I guess, than Transformers. That's not hard to be.
Would it be? I was thinking it sounded sort of like Arrival, but no, because that. There's not a lot of chaos.
Clive Owen.
Oh, is it Children of Men?
It's Children of Men.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah, I never would have gotten that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for doing the podcast. Brendan, thank you for telling us about The Sting.
Thanks,
and
yeah.
Coming
that was
on.
Fun.
And if you'd like to tell people where to follow you or where they can find anything you're working on, tell them that.
I'm on Twitter, Brendan, BrendonWalsh.
Great.
That's about it. B-hole Walsh on Instagram. That's just pictures of my kid now.
Hell yeah, dude.
And that's, they already, my Instagram's mostly pictures of your kid as well, so I don't know if they need to.
Not me.
What's that?
Hmm? Not me.
And Dave, thanks for coming back. And
dude,
thanks
for having me, always.
And if, you know, check out Suicide Buddies also.
Yeah.
Burns Audio.
Yes, that's my podcast.
Great.
And follow me on Instagram. I'm at B-hole Walsh.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Lordy.
I stole it.
Just now. I hacked you just now.
It's a good show!